Hello, my name is Paul Sank, also known as Retso Greso of LifeNet Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sidney Lam. I have heard that the investigation into how language works is not all that your relational network notation can be used for. Please give us at least one instance of other uses for it.
The notation was originally developed for dealing with linguistic units of various kinds, from phonemes on it to sentences and so on. But if this is indeed a more or less accurate representation of how that information is represented in the brain, then we know that language uses the same kinds of brain structures as other kinds of information in the brain. What makes linguistic information in the brain different from other kinds of information in the brain is not that there are different brain structures devoted to it. It's all in the connections. It's what it's connected to. For instance, even the areas of the brain that are devoted to language. First, I should say that there is not just one area of the brain devoted to language. There are several different areas that are connected to each other, and together they make it possible for us to use language. But those same areas also have other functions. The conclusion of this line of reasoning is that there isn't really any difference between linguistic information and other kinds of information when you look at it in terms of brain structures. The brain structures are pretty much the same all over the cortex. In a way, this seems surprising until you realize that what counts about any kind of information is not what the brain structure is that's handling it, but what those brain structures are connected to. If you look locally, if you look at any kind of structure, it has roughly the same form as any other kind of structure. When we're talking about, let's say, phonological information, syllables as they are in the part of the brain that recognizes syllables, or syntactic constructions, looking at the part of the brain that recognizes syntactic constructions. If you look locally at those tiny structures that would handle, for example, a single syllable or a single construction, they look remarkably alike. What makes one of them phonological and the other one syntactic is what they're connected to. It's that they're connected to different things. That's one of the principles of connectionism. It follows that once we understand how this network structure operates, then we can understand not only how linguistic structure is represented in the brain, but how any kind of structure is represented in the brain. For example, I had a student do a term paper a few years ago on arithmetic. He built some relational network structures for doing arithmetic. You can do logic or just about any kind of information. It hasn't been done much yet. I have proposed from time to time that this is a tremendous research area, opportunities for research that people ought to be exploring. So far, I haven't seen many people, beyond the one or two occasional students, I haven't seen people take up this challenge, but I sure like to see people do it.
I'd like to see it. In one of your books, I saw a diagram of a baseball game.
I did do a little diagram, the outline of a baseball game, and I think maybe I've done also, of course, that's just a little sketchy thing. I've done meals, the structure of a multi-course dinner. That's a very, very simple structure until you get into the details. I must say that that little sketch of the baseball game that I did, it doesn't cover much of the baseball game. It's only the general outline, but it could be filled out, and I'd like to see it filled out. You could take other kinds of procedures and games and whatnot and construct relational networks to account for them. Yeah, I wish